Connecting with yourself, connecting with others. I'll end this chapter with one final study that demonstrates the cost of losing your body. After Ruth Lanius and her group scanned the idling brains, they focused on another question from everyday life. What happens in chronically traumatized people when they make face-to-face contact? Many people who come to my office are unable to make eye contact. I immediately know how distressed they are by their difficulty meeting my gaze. It always turns out that they feel disgusting and that they can't stand having me see how despicable they are. It never occurred to me that these intense feelings of shame would be reflected in abnormal brain activity. Ruth Lanius, once again, showed that mind and brain are indistinguishable. What happens in one is registered in the other. Ruth bought an expensive device that presents a video character to a person lying in a scanner. In this case, the cartoon resembled a kindly Richard Gere. The figure can approach either head-on, looking directly at the person, or at a 45-degree angle with an averted gaze. This made it possible to compare the effects of direct eye contact on brain activity with those of an averted gaze. The most striking difference between normal controls and survivors of chronic trauma was in activation of the prefrontal cortex in response to a direct eye gaze. The prefrontal cortex, or PFC, normally helps us to assess the person coming toward us, and our mirror neurons help to pick up his intentions. However, the subjects with PTSD did not activate any part of their frontal lobe, which means they could not muster any curiosity about the stranger. They just reacted with intense activation deep inside their emotional brains, in the primitive areas known as the periaqueductal gray, which generates startle, hypervigilance, cowering, and other self-protective behaviors. There was no activation of any part of the brain involved in social engagement. In response to being looked at, they simply went into survival mode. What does this mean for their ability to make friends and get along with others? What does it mean for their therapy? Can people with PTSD trust a therapist with their deepest fears? To have genuine relationships, you have to be able to experience others as separate individuals, each with his or her particular motivations and intentions. While you need to be able to stand up for yourself, you also need to recognize that other people have their own agendas. Trauma can make all that hazy and gray.